Love Talk Radio.
I'm not going back to what I thought. Dear Lord, in your presence there is joy, a beautiful joy, for what you have for us to leave.
I want to get it done. Just put your
Your baby, hey, your baby.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. We are your Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We are so excited to be here this morning, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are already rejoicing, and we are glad. We are glad because he did not let us sleep on into oblivion, but he brought us into this new day, this day that we have never seen before, and a day that we will surely never see again. So we are going to praise him while we still have life and breath moving in our body. Today we want to talk to you on this topic that the Lord gave me on yesterday. And this title is Satan, the Master of Deception. Satan, the Master of deception. You know, a lot of times people don't realize that Satan is moving in the earth. Think that he is somewhere locked up and in chains. No, his spirit, he is a spirit. Just as God is a spirit, Satan is a spirit, and he moves throughout this earth realm. Can't go back into the heavenlies, but he moves in this earth realm, trying to get mankind, not trying, but he is actually doing it, distracting mankind and deceiving mankind from following in the way of righteousness. Hallelujah. He makes everything that is this defile and abominable in this world look good to mankind. Somebody just sent me a post who's supposed to be a Christian, and they were siding with the folk that is standing for abortion and same-sex marriage. You can't be on two sides. Either you're on one side or you're not on, or you're on the other side. You can't serve two masters. So I just removed them from my page. I don't need that trash coming on my stuff. You know, I don't believe in that. I respect the people's views, but I don't believe in what they believe in. Glory to God. So here we want to talk about Satan, the master of deception. You look at the young people today, you can see how they are deceived. They're deceived. They don't believe in anything. They don't know if they're going up or if they're going down. All they focus on is the things of this world, having sex, same sex, same this, all this stuff. That's all they focus on. And they think that that's their life. They don't know what's going to happen, where they're going, when they leave here, if they die. And matter of fact, they don't care about death. They don't have no respect for their parents, don't have respect for anybody, not even for themselves. Glory to God. Satan have deceived them. Here in this book of Revelation, Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, for those that are coming on the line now, those that are listening by way of cell phone, Android phones, wind-up phones, computer, however they're listening. Lord, we pray for those that are listening near and far. We got a message this morning that they're praying and hoping that the Lord would allow me to enter into Guyana this year. Well, we are praying for the release in the spirit. We can go now. It's finance is not a problem, but it's that I have to hear from the Lord in my spirit, man, when he wants me to go. When he wants me to go, then I'll get a ticket and go. You know, I'm just not going to get on a plane and go somewhere because I feel like going somebody here. Well, David, here he goes to Africa again. He's going to another part of Africa again. No, that's not what I go. I go when the Lord said go. Because nowhere he said go, he is going to order my trip, and he is going to move by his spirit to save people. In order for people to get saved, he's going to move by his spirit. So, but we got to move when he say move. And Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God. I ask you to forgive me of any thoughts, any words, anything that I have said or done, not knowing or even knowing. Lord, we ask, God, that you clean my mind right now. Clean my heart and give me, O God, the right spirit to do what I have to do today, Lord God, for your glory and for my good, O God. Father, we are not here to get accolades. We are not here to be lifted up. We are only here to lift up your name and to, O God, encourage your children, your people, the people that all those, everyone that you have died for, the whole world, we want to encourage them that it's not you, but it's Satan who is deceiving them. Hallelujah. And hopefully some people's eyes will be open to a greater degree, oh God, to understand that it's you who paid the price at Calvary for them to have access to the tree of life. We ask for healing all over this nation, all over the world, God. God, many people want to be healed from the physical disease or the physical sickness, but we all need to be healed from the spiritual disease, the spiritual sickness that is drawing us and pulling us to the hell gates. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now here in this word as we speak here, I just got this one last night to add to it, and I made this the main scripture coming out of Genesis chapter 3. And you know, a lot of times, as Bishop has said, we would focus on this and say, well, mankind first sinned in the garden. That is true, but that's not the first sin. The first sin was the disobedient. Is, as we look in the book, the first sin is when Satan disobeyed God and deceived a third of the angels, of God angels in heaven. And God had to kick him out, and the third of the angels followed him to hell or to this earth realm. So we have to look at this thing. Satan's objective is to deceive, continue to deceive mankind, those that would yield to his voice, those that would beckon to his calling and to the things that he showed them. See, a lot of times deception comes from three places. It comes from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, those three weapons is what Satan used, the same ones that he used. He used the same ones in heaven, the same lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. He showed them stuff, you know, and he told them stuff, and they believed him, and were in agreement with him, and they followed him all the way to hell, all the way to this earth realm. Hallelujah. And they're working here in this earth realm to deceive mankind. Hallelujah. Because Satan is not, he's not like God. He has power. Don't let nobody fool you. He has power. He has spiritual power to deceive. But he don't have power like God. He don't have power like God. This is why he can give, this power that he has, he can give mankind stuff. Because, you know, mankind is a candidate to be deceived for stuff. You know, but they get one thing, they want something better. They have a nice car, nice house. Satan said, man, I'll give you a mansion. I'll give you, you got a 5-bedroom house, I'll give you a 10-bedroom house. I'll double it. I'll give you a 15-bedroom house. Satan said, I would double it for you. And mankind is so gullible that he has succumbed to what Satan is showing him. So we're talking today with you from the Word of God. I'm just elaborating a little bit as the Holy Spirit's given me. Satan, the master of deception. And I want to tell you that he is so cunning. The Bible says he's subtle. He means he is smart. He is cunning. And he's sharp. He'll even go into the house of the Lord. We saw that in the book of Revelation. He'll go in the house of the Lord. He has deceived the men and women of God. You know, you see, this is why you see so many leaders are falling, because they are not focusing on what God say. You know, the stuff that he is showing them and giving them and blessing them with. Oh, God bless you. God is not going to bless you away from his house. He's not going to bless you from praising him. He's not going to bless you from praying. He's not going to bless you from fasting. And you know, Satan said, no, you don't need to fast. I'm going to take you on a trip today. I'm going to take you to Hawaii. You ain't even talked to God about it. And you get a ticket and going. somebody come and give you a ticket. Say, well, oh, Pastor, I was watching you and seeing what you're doing, and I just want to bless you. Take you to Hawaii for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so. You put up your elder or your assistant pastor. Say, well, you take care of the house while I'm gone. Satan just pull you away, just deceive you. And you figure God is doing that, not God. Here in this book of Genesis, he says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the earth, of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, listen to him, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst or middle of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. No, God didn't say, we'll talk about touching. See how we add. See, when Satan starts to deceive you or find yourself saying things and doing things that God did not say, you'll find yourself moving in a direction that God is not leading. Here we see here in this word here that she begins to say things or add things to the instructions that God had given. And all this time her husband is standing there. And we find that a lot of times that we see in relationships that they don't work between husband and wife because the husband don't voice an opinion. He said, one of them, my wife say, that's what we do. A lot of husbands say that. Whatever, you know, because I find that they do this because they don't want to cause havoc in the relationship. They don't want to cause a problem, so the man becomes silent. So whatever the woman say, good or bad, they go with. Well, no, God made you the head. You ought to take the initiative to stand up and speak. Make your voice speak. It's up to her now. If she wants to be in agreement, she should be in agreement. But most men, they say, I say, what does my wife say? I say, I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I say too. I say, well, my wife says it's fine. Whatever she says, fine. And this is what Adam did in the garden. That's why we're still in the mess that we are. He said, oh, my God. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch, lest you die. Now we see here, go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. God is speaking. Hear what he says. And see how they change. Let's start at verse 15. See how they change, how she changed that stuff. And Satan is changing the stuff. He's a deceiver, the deceiver. He said, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of in the garden of Eden to dress it or take care of and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. See what the Lord says? He didn't say anything about touching. Not even looking on it. He just says, he give them a very plain and simple commandment. See, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And I will make him and help me. Now, Eve is on the scene in the spirit. I want you to know this, because the Lord started talking about them. She was in the spirit. She wasn't formulated yet. He hadn't made woman yet. He had made man. But God gave them an instruction. God can see the end before the beginning. He knows the end. We are busy trying to fix this thing right here. And instead of talk to God about what needs to be done, because God knows the end from the beginning, and he can tell you, well, look, daughter, son, don't get yourself involved in that, because this is going to lead you to a bad ending. But it looks good to us. It looks good to us. We hear this. We go, let me, I got to do this, because they told me, if I do this, this, and this. No, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Now, Pastor from Ghana last night said, man, we are praying. The people are praying here. The church is praying for you to come to Ghana. And we cannot wait for you to get here. You know, we are excited for you to come to Ghana and minister to us. You know, they didn't move me. I said, look, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. When the Lord said go, I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to go. And I'm going to have people praying with me. Maybe somebody will go with me, you know, two or three people. I don't know how God moved, but, you know, we have to wait on the Lord. Here, this, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God. This is where Craig O'Donnell and them folks saying that we are little gods. They use this scripture right here to say that we, the children of God, are little gods. Preachers are little gods. You know where the Bible say that. Satan tell them that they should be as gods. Not gods, but they should be as gods. In other words, they will have the same outlook as God. They'll be able to see and know and do as God does, but they're not gods. So there'll be no good, knowing good and evil. And when the woman, see, this is where the pride and the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is coming in now. See, hey, what you got? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, things you see, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, see the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and a tree to be desired to make one's wife, see, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That means Adam was on the scene. Some people say Adam was somewhere working in the garden. No, he was right there. He heard all the discussion from the devil, from Satan, deceiving his wife. And he remained silent. They said a word. Oh, baby, if it makes you feel good, go on and eat it. You know, that's what it's saying. If you don't say no, you're saying yes. That's what the people say. This is how a lot of men go on and rape women. They say the woman, well, she didn't never say no. Or she was saying no, but she mean yes. A lie from the pit of hell, from right from the bosom of Satan. Listen to what he says. I'm talking about Satan, the master of deception. How are we going to know that he is leading deceptively? It doesn't line up with the word of God. So when he comes at us and brings stuff to us, and we can always focus on our spiritual sake, we can look into our spiritual computer and say, well, no, that don't line up with God's word. That's got to be the devil trying to deceive me. He knows that this. He knows that I got a husband. He knows I got a wife. And he showed me this beautiful. It's got to be Satan. And you got to tell him to get up. You got to tell him go. Why? Because he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But thank God for the spirit that lives in us, that comes to give us life and life more abundantly. We have to look deep inside of us. We got to go into that spirit. I call it a spiritual computer safe. And you have to put up the word that you have hidden in your heart that will not allow you to sin. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. We got to look inside. We're looking external for things to help us to defeat the devil. No, it's got to be on the inside. He said, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We got to look inside the word that we are putting in each day, each night. Last time, morning time, evening time, night time. We got to look for that word that's inside of our belly and expel the devil, expel his agents. You got politicians that are saying stuff to us over the internet, over the radio, over the TV, and it sounds good, but is it good? According to God's word, is it good? This is what you got to ask yourself. Well, I'm a Democratic. I'm a Republican. What they say, I believe. Well, you're going to go to hell with them just like they're going. No, you got to take the word that they're saying and line it up with the word, the manuscript that God has given us to life, that pertaining to life, and say if it match up with this. How come you're going to be so into the word of God, but you're going to vote, go in the book and vote for somebody that believes in the same-sex marriage and believe in abortions? You can't do that. If you don't want to vote for the Republican because you don't like this one, don't vote at all. Don't go vote for the devil because you don't like this person over here. This is what a lot of Christians did and still doing it. You can't vote for somebody. God, over 80 million, over 80 million babies were killed in the womb. They got a chance to see the light of the breath of life that God placed in the wombs of women. And these wicked people trying to abort these babies. And now you see people running down the street, some of them saying that they this and they that. They got placards in their hands. Well, it's your body, but what about the child? It's your body, but what about the child? God is not pleased with that stuff. So when it comes upon us, when destruction comes upon our nation, don't blame God. Let's blame ourselves that we are preachers and teachers and children of God, but we won't stand up for righteousness. We say it, we talk it, but we don't stand for it. One man in the government has caused a lot of Christians to go crazy because they don't see the end picture. I look at Jesus. That's why I told him, I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. I pray for both of them. I pray for Democrats. I pray for Republicans. I pray for all of them. But I'm not one of them. I'm a born-again believer, working myself to see Christ Jesus. Because he said, I got to work out my own salvation. He paid a price for it already. But I got to work it out. That means I got to live it out. Here, let's go back in this word. We're talking about Satan, the master of deceptions. He's a smooth operator. You know that fella sing that song? I don't know. Deacon Fraser know all these singers. I can't remember them because I leave the cabaret such a long time, the nightclub. I forget a lot of their songs. But one group just sing a song called him the man, a smooth operator. When he comes in the club, he knows how to walk. He knows how to talk. He knows exactly what to say to a woman. He's going to leave with somebody, woman, tonight because he knows what to say. He knows how to maneuver on the dance floor. He's a smooth operator. This is Satan, the smooth operator. Here, the Bible says, the eyes of both of them, verse 7, were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. No. How can you hide yourself from God? I always ask myself this. No, they were walking around. They were naked before. But they didn't realize that they were naked until they sinned. You see, sin will expose everything about you. You profess to be good. You profess to be godly until you start sinning. Then everybody begin to see her. I thought she was an evangelist. I thought she was a prophet. I thought she was a pastor. I thought she was this and that. You know, this is what people say. They sinning up a tree. They're not looking at their own sin, but they're looking at you because for some reason they have you somewhere in their mind as a servant of God. You don't know that. You think they're coming against you all this way, but they're looking at the goodness that they see you're supposed to be professing, that you are all this and that, bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. But the moment you start acting like them, some of my God, I thought he was a bishop, man. And all the time I was hearing him preaching and teaching, I thought he was truly a servant of God. This is why people don't come to us. This is why they don't come to see Jesus. Because one of the things that's happening is that our light are not shining. We talked about the light a lot here on Blog Talk Radio. That our lights are not shining. Matter of fact, there's an apron or covering that's covering down the wick of the light. So no, anybody knows that we have light is us. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the deception, the master of deception, Satan. And people look at us, they can't see the light because we allow him to snuff us out because he gives us stuff. And we say, oh, God is blessing us. No, it didn't come from God. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to preach or teach. Fast or pray. Pray for somebody because you're busy trying to polish the stuff that Satan gives you, distracting you. He said, Lord, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? The Lord knows where he is. I want you to know that God, he knows where we are at all times. It doesn't matter if you're on the church building, if you're in the crack house, the whole house, or if you're gambling, it doesn't matter where you are. If you fornicate and commit adultery, God knows where each and every one of us are at all times. But God calls upon us because he wants that word that come out your mouth to be your convictor. He said that we have to give an account of every word that come out of our mouth, whether good or bad. So God asked Adam, where art thou? You're talking about the supreme God, the sovereign God. He knows where Adam and Eve are. He even knows where Satan is and his agents are. Don't you know? He's God. The Bible says his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth. He sees the north and the south at the same time. He sees the east and the west at the same time because he's God. He's right here in America and he's in the Caribbean now. He's over in Europe right now. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, he's omniscient. I'm talking about the sovereign God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to sit around and think that we're somewhere hiding. And I'm doing this just like the Israelites in the book of Ezekiel. They said God can't see them or hear them. Therefore, the kid come in and does with man worshiping idols and think God can't see it. People go to church and they take sacraments, they take Holy Communion, and then go home and worship a Buddha. Because they believe if they rub a big belly Buddha inside their living room or bedroom, nobody can see them rubbing the belly of Buddha. Worshiping Muhammad, Allah, somebody. Nobody, the pastor don't know. Because they think if they worship this idol that they're going to get rich. Because that's where their focus is. The Bible says, he asked Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? God speaking. Has thou eaten of the tree? God knows you've eaten of the tree already. I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree. And I did eat. Now, this is now called name blaming. And we see this every day in our politics arena. For sinning and doing evil, and they're pointing the fingers at other people instead of admitting their faults. They're pointing fingers, no. This body did it. Why we are in the position that we are, why we are suffering. There's not enough baby milk. There's not enough food in the supermarkets. They forget that they are causing the farmers to destroy their crops. They infected all the chickens, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of chickens have died, even right here in America and in Boston, Massachusetts. They infected the chickens. Why? Because they want to drive the prices up so they can have their agenda come to light. People got to think about it. Open your eyes. Unstop your ears. It's Adam now. He don't hold his position as the leader of the house. Now he's telling God, putting the blame on the woman and God. It's right here in the Word. The woman, God, you're responsible. Because the woman you gave to me, she's the one that disobeyed. And she gave me to eat, and I didn't eat. The woman, because that's the woman you gave to me, God. So you're responsible in a sense, God. That's what he's saying, God, you're responsible. You hear the word of God. Look at it with eyes, spiritual eyes in your seat. Not only is he blaming the woman that God, but he's blaming God. God, you're responsible. I was doing okay. You know, the woman, I was walking around, and I was doing the things that I told me to do. I was taking care of the garden. I was making sure that all the animals were fed. I was doing everything. The plants were left. Everything was watered. Everything was trimmed. I'm the gardener. But it's not that you give this woman to me. No, I have to make a different decision. Because she's born of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I can't reject my flesh and my bones. He said, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. Now, she put the blame on the serpent. The serpent beguiled me or tricked me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, God is checking everybody. He's checking everybody. Nobody's going to escape. Judgment is coming, and no one will be with escape. With the place that you end up in the judgment that's coming, depends on how you live, how you obey God. What do you obey? Do you follow the instructions to the letter? Or you just choose what you want to follow, what you want to do? You do the things that make you feel good. I don't have any notes. I have a sermon. I'm not even going to preach the sermon. I'm coming straight out of this book because that's how the Holy Ghost says. You got to follow him. He's the best leader. You'll never walk in darkness if you keep following the Holy Ghost. All the tricks that Satan is bringing at you will not, he will not succeed. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Jesus told him that. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He says, expedient that I go. But when I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, everything that I've taught you. We got to go in this word, and we got to see what God has said for us to follow. The Holy Ghost is going to bring it to our remembrance. Study it for yourself. Says, the Lord says, God said unto the shepherd, because thou hast done this, because you have deceived my children, listen, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shall thou eat all the days of thy life. God's speaking to the serpent. God is so awesome, man. I mean, when you think about his authority, his authenticity, when you think about him, man, it makes you become amazed at how awesome the God we have. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25 and verse 28. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, the childbirth. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And he shall rule over thee. No. We see this. God right here, God put it back in order. That's how it was supposed to be. But as I said, the serpent is so, the Bible says he's subtle, he's so tricky, deceptive. It's all there. That we find ourselves being led astray to do the things that are contrary to God's word. I said, Nancy, I love you so much. I will live and die for you. But as soon as this young girl that is so attractive and the skin is so glossy and everything is firm, there's no wrinkles in her, come in my presence. Satan brings her. And the next thing, I am deceived. I forget that the promise that I have made before God and man to love and cherish this woman. I find myself doing what I don't want to do, what I should not do. Paul says, every time I want to do good, evil is present. I end up doing what I should not do, and what I should do, I don't do. It's in the word of God. God is speaking by the Spirit. Man will come back and take his rightful position. God is doing this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face. In the sweat. Some Bible says by the sweat of thy brow. But in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art. and unto thus shall thou return. So God say, this thing is so powerful. As I was looking at this, Apostle, this began to move me into a new dimension. Because my spiritual ears, as I'm fasting and praying, are being opened. My spiritual eyes, like Paul, the scales are dropping off. I'm getting older, but I'm getting wiser. I still don't know it all. So that's why I got to stay in this word. Somebody said, well, I have read all about Adam and Eve and disobeying God. But have you seen the things that I show you this morning? The points that the Holy Spirit showed me. And I'm sure that he showed you something they haven't seen. That's why we are helpers one to another. But some folks think that they got it all. They know this thing so much, they don't need to receive from nobody. Brother Deacon Fraser read the scripture last week on his prayer line. Hebrews chapter 1. And it blessed me. I tell you, it blessed me into a sweet sleep when I went to sleep after studying it. It was so sharp text, but it's so beautiful. Here's somebody, Deacon Fraser, he don't have a PhD. He don't have a doctorate degree. I can't listen to him. He don't know a lot of scripture. Well, I tell you, that's the very one God would use to enlighten us to what he wants done. Let's go to John chapter 16. I'm so grateful that you all are here on the line this morning, that I don't just have to preach to myself alone. You know, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching. Your conditions on, and I'm telling you, I'm sweating. I'm preaching to my soul.
Wow.
Because, see, you know why I'm preaching to my soul? Because I want to see Jesus. I ain't telling you that I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him the way I want to see him. I'm telling you I want to see him the way I need to see him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, people say, oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. But I'm telling you, if you don't live this life, you're not going to see him as a king. You're going to see him as a judge. And I want to see him as a king. Yeah, the king, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my peace. Into my rest, into paradise. He's going to talk that as the king. But as a judge, he's going to condemn you to hell, to the lake of fire and brimstone. So all of us got to live to see him as a king. I don't care who you are. I don't care what degree you have. I was at a church on Sunday, the Lord, the Holy Spirit came in that day, your father. The Holy Spirit came in there, and I'm praying going up the highway, because 3 weeks I wanted to go, but the Lord wouldn't release me. He wouldn't release me because I know I've been in. I've been and celebrate with one of my sisters as she became an evangelist when she was ordained last year. And you know, the Lord wouldn't let me go. I said, I want to go and fellowship with that lady. It's a little church. I mean, they can hold about 200 people, 200, 300 people. But the congregation is not a big congregation. It's a small congregation. And I wanted to go fellowship with them. But Sunday, the Lord released me to go visit with them. And as I'm going up the highway, I said, Lord, what do you want to do? If you want to use me to share word, I'm available. And don't you go tell God that you're available to do something when God say you have an excuse. Because the time is coming that no excuse are acceptable. No excuse are acceptable. When you say you're going to do something, do it. Because God is holding
That's
us
right.
accountable.
Man.
What we say. He's holding us accountable. I don't care. I love when people come on Blog Talk Radio. Because they just don't want to preach to me alone. Even though we know people all over the world are hearing us. You know, we getting messages. I'm getting text messages from different parts of the world on Messenger. And it just blessed me when people call. You see, a pastor just sent me a picture from in India. They had all these bags of food, rice and stuff. And the people sitting on the ground. I mean, they're sitting on the church. Don't have a cement floor. Don't have a mahogany floor. Don't have carpet. They're sitting on clay dirt. It has four walls and a roof, galvanized roof. But they're sitting on clear dirt waiting to receive those bags. And I was so blessed. I was so blessed. And the pastor said, he said, the pastor, we thank you so much for what you all are doing. Man, you all think it's a joke. This thing is serious business. And we have to do it. We have to do it. Anyway, listen to what he says. He says, St. John chapter 16, verse 2. Listen to Jesus speaking. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they are doing God service. You remember Paul in the book of Acts? He talked when he was locking up all the Christians and throwing them in jail, and some people was put to death. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. Acts chapter 26 and 9. 1 Timothy 1 and 13. You see it all in there. A lot of things are going to happen and people are going to think that they're helping God when they're abusing you and lying upon us that we have to go to jail. But you got to keep the faith. One lady said, well, I got to suffer. I'm serving God. And I don't have nothing. She said, all I have is $2 I can give an offering. She's a praise singer. All I got is $2. I'm suffering. The economy's turned so bad, my job is falling. Got $2. And God recognized, like the woman with the two mics, God recognized what she was giving. And I told her, God has turned around your situation. Watch and see. God bless you. Here, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. We want to put some stuff in here that going to make some sense. You have to go through stuff. And sometimes you have to lose your life. You'll lose your life, but somebody has to gain life. Do you know that? You may lose your poverty, but somebody has to get poverty. Because of who you are and whose you are. Somebody believe because they see that you stand in suffering. You know, say, well, I'm going to go back and be a prostitute. I'm not going to go back and sling some dope because I'm going through some stuff. You know, slinging dope means selling dope. I'm not going to go back and sell some dope because I'm going through this and going through that. You say, no, I'm going to stand. Because God allowed me to get in this position that I'm in, and I know that he's able to bring me out. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. You know the scripture. Let's start at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. This man had everything. You name it, he had it. He was eating caviar, drinking wine. He had prime rib. He had lobster. He had the best carbs, the best shrimp. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Whatever he needed, he had the best of the vegetables that he needed to eat. They was cooked the way he wanted them cooked. He was a rich man. He had all types of waiters waiting on him, cooks and waiters. People just bringing shoes and socks to him. He didn't even have to go looking for stuff. They laid everything for him because he was rich, and he controlled his environment. Isn't that what rich people do? They control the environment. He says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus could not afford to go to the dermatologist. He could not afford to go to any doctor. He could not afford to go down to CVS or Walgreens and buy some balm to put on his sores. He was just a poor beggar. Where did he get this crust that come from the rich man's table, come over the water, however, he's waiting there. We look upon people that are less fortunate than us, and we don't want to bless them. We don't want to help them. We find an excuse because we got to pay this bill and pay that bill. We forget that God has given us all that we need to pay our bills. We can't make a sacrifice to help the orphans, to help the widows, to help the fatherless or the motherless. We have an excuse. Listen to what God is saying here. Verse 21 says, and desired to beg to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. See, in a dog's mouth has an antiseptic. I don't know if you know that. And if you catch the dog at the right time and lick your sore, and your sore, well, we always used to do that back in the Caribbean when we got some sore or something on the leg. We would always call the dog and let the dog lick it because we know when the dog lick it, it's going to heal fast. No, you can't do that when the dog is lapping on herself or himself because you might get infected. So you got to catch the dog when the dog is fresh, not when the dog is laying around licking on herself. One lady on Facebook had the dog licking on herself. And then she got the dog kissing her face. Next thing you know, she had this big old virus like the monkey virus all over her face. No, you have to wait till the dog is this calm. And he had been licking on himself or licking on herself. Then the dog would come and lick Lazarus. And the kids would pass that the beggar died. and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, see, there's no joy in hell. I want you all to know this. I've seen them in Florida. These gay people, they're walking around with upside down a cross, half naked and same with one. They can't wait to go to hell. They think hell is a party. They think they got some disc jockey down there, some big band, Rolling Stones or one of those bands, some reggae, Bob Marley down there playing reggae or Rolling Stone playing the rock and roll music. They think that it's a big party in hell. No, they just told me. He lifted up his eyes from hell, being tormented, and saved Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He's in pain. There's no ease up on the pain. The pain is there all the time, day in and day out. This is what we got to understand. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's no easing up. People, there's no easing up. God is speaking to us. God is saying to us, don't allow the enemy today to deceive you. He's going to come different ways, but it's still the same schematic that he used. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he's going to change them up in different ways, but they come in that ways. Using those things that he knows that our flesh desire. Our eyes like to look upon. And what we like to feel like we got it all together. We push our chest up because I've got this and I got that. I. Not us, not we, but I, all the I. There's no I in team. This is why we have so much problems. We put ourselves at the head of the everything that's going on. We are the, it's me, I got, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done. Why do you think that Blog Talk is still here 12 years? Because I don't put myself up front. I never be, never will, never can, because this is God's stuff. Hallelujah. And what he said, do, I do. He said, don't you sing or dance and don't pray. Don't do nothing for a week. No, don't pray. He's going to stop me from praying. He said, don't preach. Don't pray for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I've done seven times. But even when I got a cold and my throat is bad and my chest is hurting, he said, get up, turn on the computer, preach. And when I turn on the computer, the pain goes off. The thing goes off in my church, in my throat. I told you, Sandy, when I went to that church, I prayed going up the highway. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm available. And as I was going to church, you're going to church, and the church is like down because the way it be along that street. You have to go down like seven steps. And I walk, I had my Bible, I had my computer, and I have a note. I didn't even put them down in my washcloth. Can I get hot? I sweat a lot. And when the Holy Spirit come upon me, I just can't stop burning up. I mean, it's like fire shot up in my bones. He said, Apostle, I need you to come on here and do some things here for the church. Prayer, do what the Lord said. I ain't opened my Bible yet, didn't turn on the computer yet. I just lay down and pray. Lay down the altar and pray. And I began to talk about prayer. Why the pastors are not praying. They think that they arrived, that they got it together. And the church is being tormented by the adversary. Church is not praying. Church come in here, message, and they go right back out the door. When they get home, they don't even have time to pray because the way the world is. And something happened in the church. Something happened in the sanctuary. The pastor, you got to call him apostle. Apostle, you got to call him prophet, bishop, pastor. That's his titles. He's pastor. No, he's bishop. He's apostle, bishop, pastor. So you got to call him apostle, bishop, pastor, his name. I was just there smiling, you know. But then I shared that. It's like the Holy Ghost came through that thing like a rushing wind. People were weeping. Mm-hmm. Even the pastor. The pastor, bishop, couldn't do nothing. I mean, he was just sitting there shaking his head. And the Holy Spirit just used me to just deliver what he wanted. And then I sat down. Then they called me back up to the altar again. See, when you're available for God, God will use you. Not that we are perfect. None of us are perfect. But we got to become available for God. God wants to use what he put in our belly. Not what we want to say we got. No, I don't have nothing. God. No. He called on Abraham. He's in pain. Tormented. All day long. Hallelujah. The flames of hell is burning him. He said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. See, the whole thing is switched around. Folk that think they got it all together, apostle. They got it working for them. They got the big house. They got the cars, the yachts, the planes. They got the money in the bank. They got the all fancy garments. They think they got it working for them. But there's a time coming that is going to switch around. You're going to have the golden slippers. You're going to have the nice robe dipped in the Emmanuel blood. You're going to have the crown of glory on your head. I'm telling you, you're going to have the ring of sonship and daughtership on your finger. It's going to be switched around. They have all the stuff now, but it's going to switch. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. If they don't repent, hallelujah, it's going to switch. Once you get down and come up before the judgment seat, there's no time to repent. There's no time. You got to do it right now. You have to repent now and turn to him and allow him to lead and guide you. Right now, this is what we got to do. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I got the sermon here, but I can't go into it. I got to stay here where the Holy Ghost is. He says,
amen.
Oh, Lord. He said, he began to talk to him. He says to him, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that there which would pass from hence to you cannot. Even if you want to help them on the other side, Apostle, Bishop, we can't help them. Hallelujah. Because their lifestyle is still, that we can't cross over. You may have this compassion in your heart that you want to step over to, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, that we want to step over to heaven, but God put a gulf between us and them. They can't come over here. We can't go over there. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He said, that's what he's saying. Even if you feel it, you want to go over there. Hallelujah. They want to come over here because the heat is too much for them. The kitchen is too hot. They can't get out, though. Because there's a gulf between us. There's a wall. There's a shield. Oh, God. There's a partition between us. They can't come over. Glory to God. So that's why we got to warn them now. We got to sound the alarm now. Because when the sword comes, it's too late. It's too late. We got preachers are saying today, if they want to live a homosexual lifestyle, that's okay. If that makes them happy. But God is holding you. I'm holding you accountable for not telling them the truth. If they want to commit abortions, sodomize one, it's okay. God says, no, you got to tell them that it's not good. It's sin. And sin will take them to the lake of fire and brimstone. I love you, daughter. I love you, sister. But if you continue living that lifestyle, you're going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. There's no way out. Even though you say you don't believe in hell, you don't believe in heaven, I want to tell you, heaven and hell is real. And people are going to be surprised.
Hallelujah.
Glory. They're going to be surprised that day. Thank you, Minister. They're going to be surprised on that day when they're condemned because they sin. Now, Jesus don't have to condemn them their own sin. He said, your works is going to condemn you. The very words that come out of your mouth, you're going to be judged by. And God is dependent on us to preach the truth so that when folk hear it, they don't have an excuse. They can't say, well, I never heard that before. Listen. Abraham talked to this man, to the rich man. God allowing Abraham to talk to him. The sovereign Lord is allowing Abraham to talk to him and let him know. Everything that you have done before us is written down. Hallelujah. You live a luxurious lifetime while you were on this side of the Gulf. And Lazarus, he had a very strenuous lifestyle. Can't find something to eat. Can't even get the medication he needed. Don't even have the clean clothes. Can't even get a shower. Can't go and brush his teeth when he want to. His hair's all nappy. But he's in my bosom now. All things that he needed is being taken care of now. That's why we got to live this life. Because all the things that we really hope for is on the other side. Oh, my God, I feel you, Holy Ghost. Everything that we're hoping for is on the other side. He allowed us to enjoy some things here. But these are not the things that we really need. These are the things that we want. But the things that we really need is on the other side. Glory to God. The peace and unquenchable love of God is on the other side. It's on the other side waiting for us to get over there when we get there. We have joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. Hallelujah. Let me just finish this. Oh, my God, Apostle, I got to do three more parts in this guy. I have so many scriptures, but I'm not even going to get through two of them. But listen, when you work the scripture by the Holy Ghost, man, I tell
Amen.
You, this thing is so sweet. I tell you the lie. This is so sweet. This word of God is so sweet. It just touched my heart. Because God has separated us. He has separated us for his will. And we have to walk in a way that the enemy will be able to deceive us. Because don't put yourself on a pedestal thinking not going to try to deceive you, because he's going to try. But we got to walk in this way that when he sent out his arrows and his darts and stuff, that they will not penetrate us. That we'll already have the shield of faith up. We'll have the breastplate of righteousness. We'll have the helmet of salvation. We'll have the belt of truth. We'll have our feet shrouded with the gospel of peace. And we'll have the sword of the Spirit. I tell you something, this word is so sweet. It's touching my heart. It's touching my heart. God cares for us. That he would even put a gulf between us and them, that they can't even come back over to us to contaminate us. Do you hear me today? God done this. Not for them, but for us. He put a gulf between us. And he would creep back over in the night time and contaminate us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. He said to Abraham, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my brother's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It's the people. Today don't want to hear the word of God. There's still some little churches that are preaching the truth, the uncompromising, infallible truth of God's word. Listen to me, people. A lot of people are trying to get to the big church, mega church that have 35,000 members, 40,000 members, and they have three services. But listen, you can like them as much as you want to. I despise them. You know why I despise them? For teaching a half-truth. I despise them for preaching truth. So they can keep the building packed with people and they keep getting all them thousands upon thousands of millions upon millions. While people can't get the truth, not getting the truth to see Jesus as Lord. I despise them. But the Bible says it, that they already got their reward. I'm telling you, this is word that I'm telling you. He said they have their reward in this world, in this time. But here, he wants Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers. He says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This place of suffering. He wants Lazarus now to become a witness to his brothers. While he was alive, he didn't receive the witness of God. He was too busy lavishing himself, living the high life like the Jeffersons and the Joneses. He was living the high life. He's living uptown in Manhattan in a high rise, living the high life. He wasn't concerned with the people in the ghettos. Do you hear me today? Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This is why we got to preach this truth. People must hear the word, the message of salvation. People must hear this message that without repentance, hallelujah, they will be lost. King David almost was lost. But he recognized what he had to do. And he went before God and began to testify that he's been living his life in sin. King David, read it. You always testify, I created me a clean heart. But read it from verse 1, you'll see it, that he began to repent. And tell the Lord all that he has done. And that the Lord has the right to judge him all we choose to. We got to get back to that place. And we got to walk in it. Don't just say it, walk in it. Here. Abraham told me he had the Moses and the prophets. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. See, we can't. You are preaching this word day in and day out. And folk don't want to repent because they're seeing you. They don't believe. And you say it day in and day out. They want somebody come up out the grave to tell them the truth in order for them to believe. Abraham said, you got Moses and the prophets. They got Moses and the prophets. They got them the living word before between them. They don't want to believe. They want something come back from the grave in order for them to believe. Excuse me. Listen. It's not enough for them to hear from the prophet. It's not enough. Something got to come about the grave to scare them into truth, to believe in the truth. It's not enough for them to hear it, hear what I'm saying. Something has to come about the graveyard to scare them into reality. And he said unto him, if they hear it, not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. We got one that rose from the dead. He's not dead. His name is Jesus, the Sovereign Lord. And he's speaking today and every day through men and women of God, and they don't want to hear. They wouldn't hear his voice. They're rejecting his voice. Look at Luke. This is the last scripture I'm going to give you. I can't see the time on my computer, though. I don't know where I am. Let me get this other computer up so I can see the time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. The computer that I have the program on is not showing me the time. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. We have a lot of stuff to give you. I tell you, we can go all through this book, Genesis, Revelations. We're going to go to, oh, my Lord, Numbers, Book of Numbers. Go back to John, go to Hebrews, Romans, Acts. Maybe going to Corinthians. We're going to Ecclesiastics. We're going to Psalms. We're going all over the book. I'm telling you, when we come back, whenever the Lord allows us to come back, we don't know when we're going to get back here, but whenever he allows us to come back, we're going to drop a part two on you. And probably a part three, maybe a part four, I don't know, because this is what the Lord wants us to release now into the atmosphere. He says, here, if one come back from the grave, they're not persuaded. The word of God is you sounding out in the sanctuary all day, the truth. They hear it. And Mama says, I'm talking to you, son. Mama said, I'm talking to you. Boy, you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm listening, but I'm not hearing her. He said, everything I'm telling you, it seems like it's going to your left ear and going out your right ear. That's what's happening in a lot of the sanctuaries. Even if they teach the truth, it goes through the ears. Why is it going through the ear, one ear? Going in one ear and going out the other, because the adversary is a deceiver. And as fast as you try to put it in, he's trying to take it away from you. You're planting the good seed in their soul, and Satan is right there trying to snatch it from them every second. He's trying to take it away from them. That's why we got to keep pounding it. Don't try to make them happy. Make them uncomfortable. that when they hear the word, yeah, we're going to do this last scripture. Look what he says. Luke chapter 13. And listen to this. This is not hard. Listen to what he says. Jesus is speaking. Verse 27 and 28. You can read this from verse 24 to verse 30, but I only want to put up verse 27 and 28. But he said, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence you are departed from, all you workers of iniquity. See, four are going to come to Jesus. You know the whole story. They have preached for 45, 50 years, 60 years. I told you about the story that I, the movie I saw. I shared that in the church on Sunday too, where the preacher said he was preaching for 40-some years. And how many people he has led to Jesus Christ. And what was so shocking, excuse me, Brother Deacon, see, the preacher says, I've led so many people to Jesus Christ, but to the cross, but I've never been there for myself. It was rapture taking place that morning, Sunday morning. The preacher was preaching so hard. And then all of a sudden, people start coming out their pants, coming out their suit, coming out the dress, and the wig was the fake wig. The horse hair was left behind. All that stuff that wasn't real was left behind. And they were gone. And the pastor was left there on the altar weeping because he recognized that there was a rapture taking place. Jesus said that they're going to come to him. Let's go back to verse 24. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. See, you see, the straight gate is very narrow. And many going to try to get into it after living a contrary life. And they're not going to be able to get in. This is the kind of thing that God wants us to preach on in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Instead of trying to sound so sophisticated. It's not about sophistication. It's about salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen to what he says. He says, when once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and you begin to stand without, remember the five wise and the five foolish, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. I know you not whence you are. He don't know where you come from. He said, I don't know you. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me. I don't know where you come from, so that I don't know who you are or where you came from. All you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourself, trust self. Listen, you hear what it says? They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People are going to be amazed that how they live their life. And now the time to enter, the doors close. Because they have been deceived by the greatest deceiver, the master of deception, Satan. Satan has shown them what they wanted to see. He has told them what they wanted to hear. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. I have so much scriptures to give you all, to give us. The Lord has given us so much scripture to live. Father, I just ask that you allow this word as it's gone forth today. Lord, allow it to cut the hearts of everyone when they turn and surf through the web and come to this Blog Talk Radio. Lord, let this word, O God, be like a sickle, like a two-edged sword, cut in the hearts of men and women. Lord, let them not hear my voice, but let them hear your voice through the word. And Father God, let people, oh God, be elevated into a new dimension in you, Lord, to preach the truth, the uncompromising, infallible truth of your word. Lord, not the word that make people rejoice and shout and say, Pastor, you really preaching. Deacon, you really preaching. Evangelist, you really preaching. Not that kind of word, but the word that make them sit down and take inventory of their own soul, oh God. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for Jesus. And I thank you for opening my eyes to see and my ears to hear. Lord, thank you for strengthening every joint in my body. Father, I ask you to allow me to do this thing until you call me home. And help me to live, to enter that straight and narrow gate, Lord. And I will continue to praise you, give you glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in.
Praise the Lord God Almighty.
Yes, praise Him.
Hallelujah. Glory to His holy name. Father, I come to you today humbly to request of my brothers and sisters that they accept you as their Lord and Savior. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we all need you, Father. Oh, God, from time to time we should just rededicate our lives because we do fall short of your glory each and every day. Oh, Lord God, help us, Father, to do what's right in your eyesight. We all want to get to heaven. We all want to see each other. Hallelujah. I know I want to see everyone that I know, but I'm not sure if they're going to be there because I don't know if they've accepted you, Jesus, and you are the only way. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm urging you to please do it today. Don't hesitate with me. I'll do it Sunday when I go to church. No, do it right now. Because if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved right now. Now, anybody who has backslidden, got slightly off course, right or left, to that broad, wide, narrow world of deception, come back home, brothers and sisters. I'm urging you to do it quickly because, you know, after a while, it's like playing with your eternal life. No, it's not like playing. If you stray away, you're playing with your eternal salvation, and that's a very bad move on our parts. I'm going to say our parts to play around because I'm not doing it, but then I'm not certain sometimes that, you know, I do get angry. I do go off, and I hit the ceiling sometimes, but Lord, forgive me. I'm asking forgiveness for everything I've ever done in Jesus' name. Now, the Word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth, hold on. I want to get this out so quickly, get it out. But the Word of God says in verse 8, you know, that the Word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. And you must believe what you're about to say. A confession is made in verse 9. And it says, if you believe that Jesus died on Calvary for our sins and iniquities. Not his own, because he didn't have sin. Sin was placed upon him as a sacrifice, that he would be a sacrifice for us. He was the only one worthy of the sacrifice. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your only begotten Son. And thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to Father God. Old trickster's trying it again, but he's not going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior today, you shall be saved. Once you do this, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to previously lived or whatever you're doing that was out of God's will. If you made that confession, you must believe it, you must mean it. Mm-hmm. Don't play around with your salvation, brothers and sisters. Please don't do it. I'm urging you. I'm begging you. Don't play around with your salvation. Now, if you made that confession, okay, you now have a clean slate. It's like a brand new baby.
Yes,
we're starting all over again. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Now, if you made that confession, the next step is to be baptized. And in the book of Acts, go to the act of sign that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you don't have a church that will baptize you any day of the week, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. Get any church that will baptize you. And you go down into the baptismal pool, which is commonly called the liquid grave, which is an outward sign that you're dying to sin, but you're rising with life for Jesus. It's very simple. And once again, I must tell you, you must repent. Do not go back to the ways you were living. Just repent. Repent, repent. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, God says, Peter said to them, repent, see, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. Okay. Once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved at that point, but you must mean it in your heart, and you must say it out loud, because the enemy cannot read your thoughts. He can only inject thoughts into your mind. He knows your weaknesses, knows all of our weaknesses. And he'll go back in his book of tricks to trick you in not to do it, but you should do. So you must repent now. Mm-hmm. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Congratulations on your receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And congratulations to all new believers. Congratulations to all the people who have been deceived by the enemy, but already baptized. Rededicate your life. Do it again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Bishop. We thank God for you, for your whole class, Pastor Washington. Thank God for you all. And we pray that you heard what you heard and that you receive what you heard. I would like to say that this word has brought tears to my eyes, I tell you. It brought tears to my eyes because, you know, the truth will cut you. You know, it's a two-edged sword. And I had to try to compose myself. But it's so much. I got so much in this word. The Lord has given me so much on that. I know, see how deceptive the enemy is. And we have to pay attention. God is holding us accountable, that we have to pay attention to what we are preaching and teaching. We have to preach this sound doctrine nonstop. Don't care what nobody say, what nobody feels. Sound doctrine. The doctrine that's going to cut the hearts of men and women, that they don't have no excuse. They don't have no excuse, because no excuse is going to be acceptable. You can tell your boss, well, I wasn't feeling good this morning. My knee, I had arthritic pain. I had a headache, a toothache, backache, earache, all that stuff. Your boss may give you a chance. But I tell you, on this, when you come before Jesus, because he is the one. When he come before him, you can't tell him, Lord. We can't say, well, Lord, you know, Lord, I ain't never heard this. I ain't never heard about repentance. I ain't never heard about living holy. I never heard about walking righteously before the Lord. I never heard about that stuff, not treating my neighbors bad, not talking, treating my wife, my husband bad, talking to them bad when I'm not in the church building, not talking to her bad when I'm not in the church building. He's gonna judge us, because he know that we have heard the truth. And that's why we got to preach the truth, so people don't have an excuse. You know, they don't have an excuse. Nobody ever told me that I should live holy. Nobody never told me that I shouldn't commit adultery. Nobody never told me that I should not fornicate, should have sex before marriage. So, well, okay, I did what felt good to me. Devil told me I needed to do that. I did it. Well, it will go to the devil. So anyway, the line is open for anyone that want to share, add to it, put your two pennies, $2, $3 and a half or whatever in, you know, go on in. I am finished. Okay, Brother Bishop, go ahead and pray us out.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Thank God for
praise
the
Lord.
Word. Thank God for the word. It's a blessing to hear the word. And we must let the Lord know that we're blessed by his word. His word is the best that's ever happened to us. Jesus Christ is the best that's ever happened to us. We give him praise. We thank him for the sacrifices that he made. The thorns on his head pierced his head like nails. Those things were like nails. Went into his head so that we could have the helmet of salvation. The nails in his hands, nails in his feet, bled all the way out our sin. And we appreciate you, Lord. Words cannot express how grateful I am to be able to hear this word, to be able to receive this word, to be able to understand this word, to have wisdom to know to use it, to apply it to our lives. We must apply it. And Apostle, we are grateful for you. Grateful that you make the sacrifices to come. So we thank God. I heard that there's no need to try to blame anybody else for the things that we do, the lame excuse. You mentioned the Adam and Eve in the garden and how Adam tells God, you gave me this woman. She made me do it. And a lot of times that's what people will do. Blame the pastor, blame the wife, the husband. But you know what? It's on us. What we do is what we do. What the people do is what the people do. And we can't blame nobody but ourselves for listening to the devil. Because he's the deceiver. You made it very plain. He's the deceiver. But we, just like we enter our lives, we also allow the enemy to come in by what we do. If we're not doing it for the Lord, if we're not obeying God, then you're obeying the enemy. It's just cut and dry, just like that. There's no middle ground. So you've made it very clear also that we must examine our lives, because one day we're going to go somewhere. And what we do on this earth determines where we go when we leave here. Heaven is prepared for us, so is hell. It's there. The truth is here, and so are the lies. The lies the enemy tells is here, and the truth comes from the word of God. The lies come from the devil. You made it very plain. And there's so many spirits. And I also like what you said, that the enemy knows our weaknesses. He knows us. He knows where we're weak. God knows it too. But God is strong. And God will strengthen us so that we can stand on the word. So it's very important. Another warning word. Now is the time. Fly. Straighten up and fly right. Fly right. Fly high. Don't keep hanging out with chickens. Hang out with the eagles that fly high. Hallelujah. hanging out with Jesus, and you'll be able to fly high above everything that this world would throw at us. And that's what I'm hearing. Lord, help us to stand on your word, God. So much is said, but the main thing to be focused on is that we must get everything together with the help of the Holy Spirit. You said, you also mentioned the scripture that we are not left comfortless. We are not left alone. When you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And also that God sees everything. He sees the evil. He sees the good. He sees it all. His eyes are all over the earth. You mentioned that scripture. So therefore, God knows what we're doing. He hears it all. He sees it all. He knows it all. And we're foolish to think that we can get away with anything. We can't run from God. We may be able to hide some things from some people some of the time, but we can't hide anything from God anytime. He knows it. Every lie, everything. The other day you mentioned that a half-truth is still a lie. You got to tell the whole truth. The whole truth is the word of God. There's nothing else whole but God. It's the whole truth. A lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth. Amen. So we thank God that we heard again that we need to straighten up. We say we mean collectively. We're not talking about no one in particular. I always make that clear. It's just we say we, you, we mean collectively. So as the body of Christ come together, and that's something else you're saying, as we come together, we have to strengthen each other. Amen. Strengthen each other so we can stand. We need help down here. And God gives us the help we need, Apostle. He gives us his word. If you said the infallible truths of the word of God, there's no changing, no variance in God. There's no shadow of changing in him. No change in God. So we can't get away with anything. A half lie, half whatever. And also you mentioned about not voting for the wrong people. Well, most of them are wrong. I stay out of it because they do things. They lie. They stand up there and lie and say what they don't believe in to get votes. And we don't know a man like God knows a man. Only God knows everything about a person. They stand up there and lie, commit murder, hate people, racism, all of this is just as bad. It's just as bad as if you believe in abortion. It's just as bad as if you believe in same-sex marriage. If you believe that you can lie and get away with it, you're just as bad. If you believe that you could hate your brother and commit murder, the Bible says hating your brother, it's like committing murder. So sin is sin. You got to get that. Sin is sin. Murder is murder. Jesus says hating your brother is murder. And you can cause someone to stumble by what we do. You can even cause someone to lose their soul because we don't tell the truth. And we stand up there and preach and lie. We preach the truth because many of them, they know the word. They got degrees in theology and all that. Okay, so you know the word and you preach the word, but are you doing the word? And if you're not doing the word and you following a pastor, following someone that's not doing the word, they're not practicing what they're preaching, then you're on the wrong road. Because if they're not preaching the truth, we don't even need to be in that church. And if they're preaching the truth, and then we know some things that the person is doing, and they're leading people astray, making people think that it's okay. Just like Eddie Long, he's dead now. I can say what I'm going to say. He told those young men that because he's their spiritual father, they had to do what he said. Now, they were old enough to know better. But did they really know? Did they really study the word and really know? Because a lot of people look up to pastors as really like, that's my God now, because of the way they act and what they do. So I'm saying that a lie is a lie, sin is sin, murder happens. You know, you go to jail for murder. Somebody have an abortion, it's still murder, but they don't do no time for that. But I tell you what, they don't do no time in this earth. But if we don't repent, if the doctors don't repent, the nurses don't repent, the ones who do the abortions is the one having the abortion. And if you don't repent from that, then that's a sin. It's a sin, you got to repent, and you also can go to hell and lose your soul when you give the abortion. Okay, so just remember, sin is sin. That's what we got to look at. We want to look at one sin and point at that sin and look at another and just point at this and point at that. God gave us all the commandments. He didn't say that you can leave this one out and leave that one out. They're all the same, and they're going to be all judged the same way. We blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it's over. It's over. If we curse the Holy Spirit, it's over. The Bible says it's unforgivable. And someone wants to argue with me.
Oh, yeah.
Someone want to argue with me and tell me, oh, no. Jesus died for all sins. But the Bible specifically says that when you blaspheme, when you curse the Holy Spirit, it's unforgivable. In the New Testament, it's unforgivable. Amen? You curse God, it's unforgivable. So we got to look at sin for what it is. A lie is a lie. Murder is murder. Fornication, all of that. All of that is a lie. It's a lie. It's a sin. It comes from the devil. So keep in mind, when you vote, just because somebody's standing up there saying what they don't believe in, that doesn't mean that they do. You got to know people by their spirit. You got to listen to everything they're saying and know them by their spirit. Amen?
That's right.
Because we stand up there and lie to get votes. So how do you know? How do you know who you're voting for? How do you know who you're voting for? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. And God will speak to us.
Yeah.
I stay out of it. I'm neither. I used to be on the Democratic side, and I found that it was nothing but foolishness. Because they stand up there and they lie and tell you what they don't believe in to get votes. They even start going to the churches and have pastors pray for them and go all to the African American churches, and you don't see them in church. You don't see them no other time.
That's right.
Around election time,
perfectly right, Pastor.
Here they come. And they're going to give
a little more.
Here it comes.
You're perfectly right.
Because they want your vote. But how about if we stand up for Jesus? How about if we stand for
Jesus?
Truth? How about if we pray before we go and vote? If you're going to vote, you got to pray. You got to ask God. God, should I vote for this person? In my spirit? No, I'm not voting for neither one of y'all, because they stood up there and lied. And God says lying is a sin. Hating people, hating brothers and sisters, because we all have one. We all had two. We all started out with two people. So when you hate, you murder. Bottom line.
That's right.
People do all kinds of terrible things. And think that it's okay. It's not all right. They rape people. You know, you can even rape people with a lie. You rape them. You take away their, it's almost like you're taking away their rights. Why? Because you may not agree with me, but it's like you taking away something that they could have if you would just tell the truth. You laying on them with lies. You laying lies.
That's
on
right.
Them, not the truth. So when you do that, you're going to be held accountable for that. God is going to hold you accountable. It's like you're an accessory to a crime because it's a crime to sin. It's a crime against God. When you break the laws of God, it's a crime, and he's the one that's going to come and get the revenge. He's the one. He's a jealous God, and he's coming at you. And how many times every day we talk about all the ones that started out good. Even Saul started out all right, but he was a wicked king. He was wicked. He wanted to have his way. And you mentioned it's all about I. Well, that's how it was with Saul.
That's
it
right.
Got to be like that with him. And God said he was finished with him. He even told the man of God, after he had sinned so much against God, gave him chance after chance, sent the man of God
yeah.
to tell him, do this and do that and do the other. And he did what he wanted to do. And then God did what he had to do, because God has to judge
exactly.
sin. God is a God of righteousness, and he's going to judge both ways. Both
That's
ways.
Right. That's
for
right.
the righteous and the unrighteous. So keep that in mind. When you're on your job, when you're doing family things, whatever we're doing, keep God in mind. Allow God to speak to us, because that's what that helmet of salvation is. It gives us the right way to think. The nails in the feet gives us the right way to walk. The nails in the hands allows God to establish the works of our hands, and we're going to do what's right with our hands, because he died for righteousness. He was pierced in his side. And when he was pierced in his side, don't you know it pierced his heart? Water and blood came out. It pierced his heart, my God, my God. It pierced his heart, because we have to be pierced. We have to be pierced so that we can get a new heart. We got to get a heart for God. Amen? God want to give us a new heart. He said, I'll put a new heart in them. I'll do a new thing, and the former things are just going to pass away. The former things are no more when you give your life to God. And so I just have to say that about these politicians. You got to really listen to everything they say. Everything. I turn them off, me. I turn them off, because there's so much corruption in the government. Unless God speak to me and tell me to go vote for this one or go vote for that one, I'm not going. Because I'm neither or. I'm for Christ.
That's right. That's right.
You got to be all the way for Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that governs my life.
Yeah.
He governs me from the time I wake up till the time I go to bed. He's governing my life. And that's who it's got to be. That's who you got to vote for. That's who you got to say yes to. Amen? Say yes to him, and he'll lead you in every way in your life.
That's right. Keep
that in mind.
Hallelujah.
Keep that in mind, that everything that you hear people say is not the truth. And the devil can appear as an angel of light. So that's why we got to have Jesus, so we don't be deceived. Like them little boys were deceived, thinking that because he was their spiritual father, that he could do what he wants. He robbed them. He robbed them. That's a crime. He robbed them of the truth. It's like you raping people when you rob them of the truth. They have the right to know the truth. Amen? So just look to the righteous judge Apostle, you said so much, and I don't need to preach because you already did. But I just wanted to say that all sin, mostly commandments and the things that he commanded us to do, if we don't do them, we have to answer to God. You ain't got to answer to the president. You don't have to answer to the governor. But you got to answer to God, the most high, the highest of the high. That's who you got to answer to. It's best we listen to him. Because if we don't listen to him, we show up on our way to hell. And there ain't going to be no dog to lick your sores. There ain't going to be there is not going to be any comfort because people didn't want the comforter. Ain't going to be no comfort in hell. It's going to be gnashing of teeth, screams, oh my God, and constant burning. You know what they're going to be burning with? That sin that they committed. They're going to, you rape somebody, you're going to hear the screams. That's how I see it. You're going to hear the screams of the person that you was raping. You're going to constantly see the person you murdered. You're going to constantly see, it's going to be constant. It's going to be, because God said he won't remember your sins anymore when you ask for forgiveness and give your life to him. But you know what? They're going to remember in hell. God, I believe they're going to be tormented by the sins that they did. They're going to be tormented by that very sin. And they're going to hear the screams. They're going to hear the torment, and they're going to be tormented. My God. And I believe they're going to be able to see all the crimes they did. My God. Crimes against God. Lord, help us, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us.
Woo, glory.
For so many people have gone astray. Look at what they're doing on television. The women's breasts are all, you can see their nipples on TV now. It is just
everything.
It's just horrible. They wear see-through clothes.
That's right.
The LGBTQ, whatever you say, I think it's LGBTQ. They got their own programs. You know. But so do the others. Not just them, so do the others. The women, the housewives of Atlanta and all that. They fuss and they fight and they got all their stuff hanging out. They got so much makeup on, they look like mannequins. But that ain't no sin.
Right.
That ain't no sin. But they don't even look real. They don't look real. Because this is what's going on. And look at what our young people have to look at. Look at what they have to look at. It's so much. And he's drawing the young people in. The devil is drawing the young people. So we got to pray. All pray for him throughout the day. Pray for the young people because he's taking them. He's going after them before they can. He calls himself going to get them before God gets to them while they're still young and so vulnerable. But we're all vulnerable to sin because we all sinned. But he's going after them. Putting his seeds of lies and garbage. And all of the seed, he's planting seeds all over the place. So we got to plant seeds of righteousness. Amen. We got to plant our seeds, too, that God has put into us. Amen. So please,
Amen.
please be careful. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you're looking at. Last night we was trying to find a decent movie to watch where there wasn't no cursing. So we found a few, but you know what? They were old movies. They were like in the 90s and the 80s. And some really good movies didn't have all the person, didn't have the naked bodies. And it was really good movies. Because back then in the 80s, you didn't see as much of that. And even some new movies now, they're good. Some of them are good. But we got to not watch that stuff. You can't be going to gathering where God is not honored. If he's not honored,
That's right.
Don't go. Don't go. If the music is saying things that that you don't need to hear, don't listen to it. Turn the TV off if you have to. I said, now, if I don't find a decent movie, I'm just going to turn this TV off because we don't watch TV too much. But just trying to find a decent movie. And God forbid if we go to the movie, to the theater now, because you don't know what's sitting in the dark next to you. You don't know. And they shooting up everywhere. I feel like it's not that I'm not afraid, but I tell you what, I'm like you, Apostle. I don't care to go many places. I take care of my business. We don't go to the store. I order everything online. I don't go in the shopping centers anymore. It's not necessary for me. I'm not telling nobody to be afraid and don't go. But these people with all these guns, they're walking around in Walmart with guns on their side.
That's right.
You never know when some
everywhere.
Crazy person is going to go off. They got guns everywhere, like they're the police. Got guns everywhere. In the shopping mall, they're walking with guns and stabbing people. They got knives. They're stabbing people in the back. Why you want to go? Why you want to go? I don't go even to restaurants anymore. It's too much evil. Let me eat at home. Because, you know, I used to love to go eat out. Because we just certain places we frequent. No, I don't go anymore, especially since COVID. But there's no need. There's too much evil out there, but we got to pray against it. Just because we don't go to these places, we still have to pray against it, especially our children. And I told y'all the vision that I had, all these young people with all these guns. They're gathering more and more guns. And the enemy is speaking to them with subliminal messages. I think Brother Jones mentioned something about that one day on the line. That is some frequency of something that they're receiving from the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
The frequency is simply evil. The evil is taking over the mind. When the mind is not given to Christ, then the evil can take over. What you trying to get? So anyway, Apostles, thank you. It's a word to go back to and listen some more. I listen to Block Talk at night. And through the day, I put the message back on, and I listen. Because the more we listen, the more the word of God enters in. You know, we need to hear it over and over and over. Over and over and over. Because the more you hear it, the more it gets into you. It's that repetition. And I think you mentioned your mind is like a computer. It computes. And we know that. It computes. The more you hear something, the more you're going to know of it. Amen, and the more you're going to do of it. We are what's in our mind. That's why our mind had to be transformed. That's why Jesus had to take thorns on his head. Amen, so we could have the helmet of salvation. Amen, so that we could live.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Forever.
Amen.
He had to do
Amen.
It. He came. If he had not done it, we'd all be doomed for hell. And God knows, I don't even want to think about that. My God, I keep saying, God, I just want to make it to heaven. I want to make
That's
it to heaven.
That's me, too. Don't leave me here.
Fix me, Lord.
That's right.
Whatever is in me, if there's anything in me, God, and it's not like you, God, I don't want it. I don't want it. Take it from me. My God, help me. If y'all hear me saying something I shouldn't say, if you see me ever doing something or saying something, please, please tell me. Because sometimes we say things and we're not aware of what we really, you know, really, we know what we want to say, but we're not aware of how we're saying it or how it's affecting somebody else, you know. So we need to ask God, bless our thoughts, bless our words, and bless our actions, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Don't let me do something that's going to hurt somebody. Don't let me do something that's going to hurt somebody. I don't want to. I just want to bless folks. I want to bless people everywhere I go because I live for Jesus. And when you live for Jesus, you're going to be a blessing, bottom line. So someone else, I heard Brother Jones, he might not be able to come in, but I did hear him come in and say amen. So, and Deacon Frazier, I hear you. So I'm going to get off now. I'm just going to listen. Thank God for the word once again. Apostle. God bless
you. Thank you so much, Apostle, for your response. You said so much. God is truly speaking to us through his word, and all we need to do is listen, receive,
yes,
and activate.
Yes,
that's
God.
All we need
amen.
To do. Because it's going to get so bad. A lot of people are taking it lightly. But the prophetic word that's going forth over this blog talk really every day. And we better pay attention. I'm telling you, according to God's word. See, this morning, the press secretary, I got an alert on my computer. Fell out in a press conference. Fell out in a press conference, okay? She's a young woman.
She's
you remember when the president first called her to be his press conference, he is saying she's a black woman and she's intelligent. When she came before the podium, the first thing she says, she's a black woman and she's a lesbian. That's the first thing she says. I'm a black woman and I'm a lesbian. Like, that's what qualified her. See, I'm working for Satan. So I fit right in.
She wanted it known.
You got to pay attention. She wanted it known that she worked for Satan. This is, I'm a lesbian, you know. And she's a very attractive young woman. But she'd rather have a woman. See, she'd rather have a woman. And she has a microphone and she have the television screen where millions of people can see and hear her. So guess what she did?
That's
she
right.
testified. I am a black woman.
That's right.
I got one of the top jobs in the nation of United States, and I am a lesbian. So we are ruling. I look at her, I said, wow, look at this. When she said that out there, I said, Lord, I said, Satan, he is not shame. He is bold. And we have to become much bolder.
No
compromise the word. And all we want to do is preach about prosperity. Everybody needs some money. Everybody. Ain't no nobody living that don't need some money. I don't care if you're a preacher, if you're a mason, if you're a carpenter, electrician, doctor, lawyer, you need some money. Everybody needs some money. But that's not our main objective. Our main objective is to get the word of God out there, preaching the kingdom messages about salvation and repentance. That's what we have to do. And once we
do that,
man, you can sure enough go to sleep and sleep very comfortable. Very comfortable.
That's right.
You can sleep without worrying, you know. They're saying that so much stuff is going to happen. I'm not worried about it. I don't go too much places, Apostle. The truth is I don't go a lot of places. If the Lord told me, I stay here, I know that one of you guys is going to come on and preach, somebody going to testify, somebody going to prophesy, I'm going to get just what I need right here. And the Lord told me, he said, well, look, go. I want you to visit this church because I want you to say something to them. I said, okay, Lord. And I get up, I take a suit, a rowboat, that thing, and I put it in my truck, and I go. Because, see, I want to be ready in every – when they take a rope for me, I know that the church I'm going to, they use ropes. So when they call me, I'm ready. I got my rope in my car. It's in my car. I just got to get my rope because that's – you got to follow, order of the church, you know. And I'm ready to go. And I'm going to get them just for God's sake. I'm not going in there talking about, oh, you're going to get this. And if you just believe that, the Lord will give you this. And if you just do it, no, I'm not going in with that stuff. I'm giving you sound doctrine. Doctrine that you're going to get mad at me. By the time I leave you get in your car, the Holy Spirit going to be with you. You know, that word going to come back and going to regurgitate in your spirit, man, and make you think, you know.
Amen.
So that's what I do.
That's what it takes.
So, glory to God.
That's what pleases God. We want to please God.
Yeah.
First and foremost, we want to please God. And when we do it his way, He pleased God. Amen. Do what he says to do. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, God is good, and we serve an awesome God. And people think that these people that are serving and working in this satanic agenda, they really think they're winning. I'm telling the truth, Apostle. They think they're winning. They really do believe that they're winning.
They've been deceived.
Satan deceived them so hard, they really believe that they're winning.
They believe it's right.
You know, so it's going to happen so sudden.
He's using the media so much.
That's right.
He's using all of that, and like the woman got up there and said, she was, you know, she's a lesbian. Well, what she's saying to the world is, you can be who you want to be and still get what you need and what you want. You can go into high places. You can get high positions even if you're gay, even if you, you know, sinning and living outside of the will of the Father. It goes all over the world, and people are listening. So he used her at that podium. He used her. He uses sin, unrighteousness. That's what he uses, and he make it look good. She's nice looking. She got a good position. It look good, doesn't it? It look good, but the devil is deceiving.
In the Bible, you notice that the wicked people always have high places.
Yeah.
And then they be running those high places. And the Bible always talks about, the Bible talks a lot about God sending a man or woman. Mostly, usually in the Bible, it's a man pulling down, tearing down the high places. He goes in and tears down all that high stuff, all that stuff that they built to worship their gods. That man of God going in and tear that stuff down. Tear the high places down, all their altars and all that stuff. So they only got a time. They just got a little time. They just got a little time, a season, to do that foolishness that they do. And then God brings it down. He brings down all their high places, all their high places. You look at Nancy Pelosi. She can't go behind the podium without drinking some vodka. You know. You look at her. She's intoxicated.
Yeah.
And so when she get up there, she's on the influence. The devil use her every which way. You see her husband almost killed somebody there in California, driving the car. He's driving one of the fast cars, over $100,000 car. I think they said with $125,000 car he's driving. He is 70-something years old, almost 80 years old, and he's driving a fast sports car, speeding, and he on the influence, almost killed somebody. And they're trying to keep all the stuff on the cover, because his wife, he's a billionaire and she's a billionaire. And, you know, when you've got money in this country, you get to do a lot of stuff and get away with it. But like
that's
you said it. Earlier, you might get away with it here on earth, but you're not going to get away when the judge comes. Then the true judge comes. You're going to have to pay.
You got to pay for that evil stuff. Amen.
You know, the Lord told me something last night was so ironic. I mean, it was so... I was laying down the bed. I was laying there with my computer. I was filling out the computer. And Lord said, he says, you know that the people in America now so upset with the school shooters. He said, and I'm not, and the Lord told me, he said they're so upset with the school shooters. And he was talking to me like we were just conversation. He said, and I'm not upset. I'm not agreement. He said, I'm not agreement with the school shooters. That's what the Lord said. He said, but son, you know, he says to me, he says, and I know it's more than 80 million, but he just told me, he said, over 80 million babies has been, over the years, has been aborted. But nobody is talking about that. He said, matter of fact, they're fighting to keep abortion alive. And nobody's going to jail for it. Nobody is spending no time in jail for the abortion. And you talked about it just now, a little while ago. But the Lord put that in my spirit last night. He says, all of these babies are being murdered. They're murdered. They don't have a say. Yeah, they don't have a say. You know, these are babies that breathing in the womb. They can hear while they're in the womb. That's why people talk to their wife or their girlfriend belly. They talk to the baby, and the baby can hear. When the baby come out, the baby hear your voice, and the baby starts smiling because they've been hearing that voice while it was in the womb. And they're mm-hmm. taking them babies out of that womb and killing them. And putting, then they're using mm-hmm. the blood and the navel cord and all that stuff in satanic mm-hmm. rituals.
That's right. And they're putting it in these creams for the face because it's supposed to take care of the wrinkles. And so they're putting it all in these creams and all of that. And it's supposed to make you look young again.
Yeah.
You look young again. It takes away the wrinkles and all that. I don't even buy it. I don't buy it.
Yeah, God showed me that stuff last night. I was amazed, man. I was amazed. Oh, I was just amazed. And they would talk. They talk. Nobody want no kids got shot. I don't want no kids get shot in the school or out the school. I don't want nobody get shot. You know, but God, man, look and see what you're sanctioning. You know, and young women and little boys, and they're walking with their mama and father with these cars after the chief justice house, and they're protesting because they want the right to. They said, "This is my right. This is my right. This is my body." But what about the baby? Don't the baby have some rights? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about.
It is something
to
think about.
And it's going to come down. The wrath is going to come down on this nation, I'm telling you. The only reason that God is not releasing the full wrath on this nation is because there's still some serious prayer warriors out there that are praying, interceding for this nation. And we have to intercede for it because that's what's going to bring change. You know,
amen.
When we intercede for this nation, that's what's going to bring change. God's going to move these people, move people out of positions, congressmen, senators, Supreme Court judges, police department, fire department. People going to get moved out of position by force or by fire. God going to move them. He's going to move them.
Amen.
Because the people
that's
are
right.
praying. The people are praying. People are praying. You know.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Yes, they are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Father. So I heard Brother Deacon about me in the background. If you want to say something, then come on in, Brother Deacon. Isn't that we're gonna ask the bishop to close us out, and we're gonna leave you all and see what's happening for tomorrow. I'll see you all.
Amen. Bishop is going to close us out now. Thank God for the word. Thank God for Jesus.
Thank you for coming on in. We're having our conversation as always.
Yes, and we enjoy.
I'll be with you in a second, folks.
Okay, Bishop.
Take it off, speaker.
Okay. Sorry about the noise. So may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us until we meet again. God bless everyone on the line. Bless everyone who came and those who couldn't give comments. It's okay. Don't you hear the word and live the word? That's all that counts. God bless each and every one of you. And if you haven't received Jesus, you can still do it. You don't have to wait until you do the prayer of salvation. Read it for yourself. God bless you, you and your family. And be careful out there on the streets because people are acting very, very weird. And these things must come. God bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bishop. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
So we will see you all on tomorrow if the Lord say the same.
Praise cool. God.
All right. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
All right.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.